Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you in peace on this Easter morning from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Throughout Luke's gospel, he likes to pair people together. And he often likes to pair men and women. Simeon and Anna at the start. Two saints looking for the kingdom of God. And recognizing the promised child that Mary and Joseph have brought to the temple. The Pharisee, who invited Jesus to dinner, and the woman who anoints his feet. The ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, begging for his daughter, and the sick woman who skips the begging just to touch the hem of his cloak and ends up being called his daughter. There are actually a bunch more pairings. Not always male and female, but Luke does love that juxtaposition. And Easter morning is no different. You have the women as a group. Luke tells us at the end of it that they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. But at the start, it's just they. The burial of Jesus ends with the notice that the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb. It was they who on the first day of the week, at early dawn, went to the tomb taking spices. And paired with the women is Peter. Peace to the Apostle John, who tells his story of outrunning Peter. In Luke, it's Peter who runs to the tomb. And I think you have to conclude that each of these groups went for a different reason. And each of them saw something a little different. Why did the women go to the tomb? They were bringing the spices. They were finishing the burial. They were going to do what was required for their dead friend and rabbi. And what they are confronted with is the gospel proclamation. First, merely in its physical terms, the stone was rolled away, and they did not find the body. This perplexed them. Why would someone take the body of a crucified insurrectionist? Where might they have taken the body? But they didn't have to sit long in perplexity before the revelation. Two angelic figures appear and ask them the question of the day. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, maybe some of us are here at this Easter service for reasons like the women. We are seeking the dead. We want to give him his due. This Jesus told some nice stories. There are some wonderful songs. Easter morning has some of the best ones. Our friends are here. But maybe we're still here about something dead. Performing the rites one more time seems good and right. But let's not kid ourselves, it's dead. And if you've come to Easter morning for such reasons, what the angels tell you is the word of God. He's not here, but he's risen. If you've come for the dead, you won't find the dead here. Here is the living. This is not the corpse of Christ, but the living body of Christ. This is just like he told you, all the way back in Galilee, all the way back in Sunday school, all the way back in the rocking chair with your mother and an arch book, all the way back to the first time you heard it. The Son of Man must be delivered and crucified, and on the third day, rise. And he is risen. You didn't understand then. Fine. It's a tough thing. It's only happened once. The dead don't rise. But now they do. The body you seek is not here. It's not cold on a stone slab. It's living. He's risen, just like he told you. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to all of the rest. These are the actions of the living body of Christ. We remember the words. We remember that God is faithful and keeps his promises. We remember that the living Christ is among us. And we tell others. And the word of God awakens faith and changes lives. Changes us from those who seek the dead to those who know he lives. And because he lives, we too shall live. We too shall see God face to face. Now, that first proclamation of the gospel doesn't always take. The women arrive back and tell their story to the apostles, and what happens? What do these sent ones who had been sent to proclaim the kingdom do? These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now, I'm going to make a distinction here. Maybe they were just not desperate enough. Maybe they hadn't hit bottom. Maybe the immensity of sin or just how low they could go hadn't hit them yet. We know that Thomas rather quickly had gone back to work. He wasn't there this day. Luke's Easter evening story finds two of them leaving Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. As my favorite TV line of all times has it, we'll be amazed at how quickly it never happened. You just go back to life. Put one foot in front of another. But when you're at the bottom, when you've betrayed your best friend, just like he told you he would, when he's rebuked you for cutting off an ear, when the entirety of the past 3 years has come to nothing, maybe you never even understood this rabbi who you had confessed to be the Christ. When you have gone out and wept bitterly, maybe then that idle tale is not so idle. Maybe then you rise and check it out. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Maybe then an idle tale is actually the beginning of hope, of stooping in and looking and seeing the linen cloths by themselves. Maybe if the dead do rise, this forgiveness can come to me. Maybe this pit that I'm in is not so deep that God can't pull me out. And he went home, marveling at what had happened. Not maybe. It happened. He rose. He's risen. And I don't exactly know what this means for me yet, but let's find out. It's a new world. The dead rise. I don't know where you find yourself on that scale. Looking for the dead to give the appropriate rites, or desperately searching for hope. Or maybe you've been drugged here today and are more like those other apostles. Or maybe it's some complex mixture of all three. But this is the word proclaimed by the angel. It's exclaimed by Mary and Joanna and the other women. And eventually it's the word preached by Peter and all of those apostles. Wherever you find yourself, all of these testify to you today. He's risen. Death's reign is over. Sin's weapon is destroyed. That pale horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. That dread Pharaoh can chase you no more. Because today, the kingdom of heaven has come. The first fruits of the new and the former things shall not be remembered. Be glad and rejoice forever. Amen.